friends, grace and peace to you from the one in whom we live and move and have our being, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we've been completing a series on us as the church. We've been exploring questions from a number of different angles using a number of different images to explore who we are, what we're called to, both individually and as a community, in our participation in the church. Over the past several weeks, we've used the images of the church, such as God's handiwork, the church as a holy nation, the church as a temple, as a spiritual dwelling place for God. Today, we'll look at a final image, one of the most famous images of all, the church as the body of Christ. It's an image Paul uses in his first letter to the Corinthians. And there's something actually particularly special about this metaphor we'll look at today. So stop with me first and picture the church as a human body. Where do you imagine in this body Christ would be? If the body is a church, which part of the body is Christ? Well, if you said the head, you'd have very good reason for that. We find Christ described as the head of the church in both Colossians and Ephesians. And actually, from writings of this time, in secular writings of this time, the Romans used this metaphor a lot as well. They used the image of the body to describe the hierarchy of society, the functions different classes had, with the emperor as the head. For Rome, the head controlled the rest, and the less powerful served the most powerful. But surprisingly, that's not actually what we find in the text today. That use of the metaphor, at least. Paul, in speaking to the Corinthian church that is fighting amongst themselves and is full of divisions, people who are arguing about who has the greatest honor and who has the least honor, employs a much more radical understanding of the body of Christ. As we read it today, I want you to notice that Paul depicts Christ not just as the head of the body, but as the whole body. The whole body of the church, the entirety of it. In addition to being the head, Christ is the arm and the knee and the pinky of the church. The hierarchy of the body metaphor is replaced with something much more relational and organic. We turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. And to another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again to the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with the greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it.
Word of God, word of life. Amen. The church is the body of Christ, and we are individually members of it.
For many, this is a familiar passage. And yet, in its familiarity, I wonder if we sometimes lose Paul's full impact of these words. When I personally think of the word member, usually it's in the context of being a member of a church. Voluntary church membership, choosing this church or that church, I'm going to become a member. Or else in the sense of everyone has a part to play in the church. You can be a finger, you can be the shoulder. Someone stronger than me can be the bicep. Everyone has a role so that we can work well together. That's often how this passage is used and talked about. And all of that's true. But it's a pretty superficial reading of the text, because Paul is speaking on a much deeper level here. Paul is speaking about more than how to have a well-run community or what roles people should play in that community. Paul is speaking about Christ, about who Christ is, and about where Christ is. Paul says that the church is the whole body of Christ. Therefore, if we follow that logic, the pinky is a part of Christ. The shoulder is a part of Christ. And the bicep is a part of Christ. Every member of the church is an essential member of Christ's manifestation in the world. Also, this isn't something we join. The toe doesn't decide to become part of the body. As Paul writes, if the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it no less part of the body. No, when we speak of members of the body, we are speaking not of what we join, but of who we are. Whether we like it or not, this is who God has made us to be. As the church, we cannot fully bear Christ, we cannot fully manifest Christ in the world without all its members. And that also means we cannot, as a church, be fully Christ in the world without you. One of my favorite things about Martin Luther is his definition of sin. He defines sin as the state of being turned in on oneself. Scripture, Luther tells us, describes us as so curved in on ourselves that we use not only physical but even spiritual goods for our own purposes, and in all things seek only for ourselves. In other words, despite our best effort to be good and to love others, there's always some element of self-interest involved, some element of what's in it for me. We find it impossible to escape this black hole of our own self-interest. And what's worse is usually we're not even aware of this fact. In contemplating this notion of sin and also this metaphor of the body, I kept being drawn back to a book I read some years ago, a wonderful Pulitzer Prize winning book called The Emperor of All Maladies, A Biography of Cancer by Siddhartha Mukherjee. Mukherjee, a physician and an oncologist, explores in depth the history of our understanding of cancer in both its physiological and emotional complexity. The behavior of cancer, he says, a disease we all know that's caused by the uncontrollable growth of a single cell, is in some ways an appropriate metaphor for human sin. Now, it's generally good practice not to overly symbolize an illness. I don't want to at all run the risk of implying that cancer is a result of human sin or that it is a punishment from God, which it is not. But when speaking of the body in metaphorical terms, the behavior of cancer, which is cell growth without barriers, gets close to Luther's notion of sin. Cancer begins with a cell that lives only for itself and nothing around it, a cell that seeks to expand to all parts of the body and to make everything identical to itself. It's a being turned in on itself. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he wrote to a people bitterly divided. He wrote to a people who were, in a very real sense, turned in on themselves. They were no longer relating to one another. They were thinking only of themselves. And Paul describes for them a different way. Yes, you are different, he agrees, but you are also one people, united in Christ. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Rather, the diversity of this church is what makes it strong, what makes it able to function. The diversity within the body of Christ makes us collectively able to live and move and breathe. All parts function together to live. It's never easy to be told that you need someone you don't like, especially by Paul. It's never easy to be told that you are not free to make your own community, separate from those you'd rather not include. And therefore, this really isn't an easy passage once one digs into it, because we live in a world that's so often bitterly divided. Where do you find those divisions in your own life? To whom are you tempted to say, I just don't have any need of you? What could a relationship with someone this repulsive even look like? In South Africa, there's a word, Ubuntu. It's often translated as, I am because we are. During the Truth and Reconciliation Commission after the end of apartheid in South Africa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu theologized this term in his efforts to bridge people divided by long histories of hatred and bitter oppression. He worked to help people overcome these hatreds by pointing to Paul's declaration that, as children of God, we are members of the same body, the body of Christ. Even if we do not like each other, he says, we need each other. We need each other and those relationships to even fully be ourselves as individuals. I am because we are. As he writes, my humanity is bound up in yours, for we can only be human together. To be members of the same body means an absolute conjoining of one and the other, sister and brother in Christ. To see only division and difference and not the unity we are able to profess because of Christ is to entertain dismemberment. Likewise, to demand conformity without celebration of difference is also to entertain dismemberment. Each of these postures is to be cut off from the very source of life, existence, and even our ability to be most fully who we are and who we are meant to be. We need each other, all of each other, regardless of class or sexual orientation or gender or ethnicity. I am because we are. As a church, what does it look like to manifest Christ in the world? It looks like a church where people as different as the nose is from the fingernail, as different as the brain is from the belly, can worship together and truly acknowledge Christ in one another. A church where all these parts act together in unison as Christ in the world. A church that understands that we ourselves are because of the relationships around us. I am because we are. Finally, in this time of COVID, we are all too aware of how exposed the human body can be to the elements, to illness of all kinds. Our bodies are open and exposed to the world, and they're vulnerable. And in this time, we also witness the incredible propensity of the body to work together to heal. And so whether we're ill or whether we're healing, let's do it together. Members of the church, members of the body of Christ, safe and secure in the knowledge that we are God's. Let's share each other's sufferings and joys. Dear church, let us be the body of Christ. Amen.